bylaw referendum. You'll hear proponents and opponents of the proposed changes, which could radically alter the Pacifica Foundation, which owns WBAI here in New York and our sister stations, WPFW in D.C., KPFT in Houston, KPFA in Berkeley, and KPFK in Los Angeles. Tune in to hear debaters compare the present bylaws with the proposed bylaws to help you decide how to vote when you get your member ballot in a few days. You'll have a chance to phone in and voice your questions and concerns. That's Saturday, June 5th from 4 to 6 p.m., a debate on the 2021 Pacifica Bylaws Referendum. This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Stay tuned for Ecologic coming up. It's 2:30 p.m. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
It whole again. I believe we can make it whole. They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry for the children. Makes me wanna.
Or healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. For Ken Gale, I'm Sally Gellert.
And she's Sally Gellert. Okay.
Oh. And you're Donna Stein.
There's always some technical something. And this is Ecologic for June 4th, 2021.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Do you have the right to clean air and water? Not yet.
Today, we welcome Delaware Riverkeeper Maya Van Rossum, the founder of For the Generations, which is working for green amendments to state constitutions. Hi, Maya.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So tell us, what's a green amendment?
So a green amendment is an amendment that's added to the Bill of Rights section of our state and federal constitutions and actually recognizes and protects the inalienable rights of all people to clean water and clean air and healthy environment.
So what states have them now?
So at this point, there are only two states that have a green amendment, a constitutional environmental rights amendment that raises up environmental rights so they're protected as firmly and strongly as we protect other fundamental rights we hold dear, things like the right to free speech and freedom of religion. And those two states are Pennsylvania, and that's in significant part due to the work of my Delaware Riverkeeper Network organization, and the state of Montana. But that's it. We've got over 40 states, by my count, it's 44, states that talk about the environment in their constitutions, but they don't recognize and protect the inalienable rights of all people to a clean and healthy environment, again, in the same way we recognize and protect those other fundamental freedoms we hold dear.
So tell us about, tell us a little bit about how widespread this is, the states that it's in, and where we're going.
Yeah, so again, only Pennsylvania and Montana recognize and protect the constitutional right in an enforceable way to clean water, clean air, and a healthy environment. I have been working since I had, since I and my organization had this amazing victory in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in 2013, where using a long-ignored environmental rights amendment of this kind, we were able to defeat a devastatingly pro-fracking law. Since that time, I have been really thinking about this idea, about the power and the importance of constitutionally protecting environmental rights. And after that December 2013 victory, I very literally looked at every constitution across our nation and found that there were, in fact, only two states that recognized and protected environmental rights in this way. Again, Pennsylvania and Montana. And I decided that I was going to change that and that I was going to get every state across our nation to recognize and protect our rights to a clean and healthy environment in the Bill of Rights section of their state constitution. And ultimately, when we're ready, to also secure this kind of constitutional environmental rights amendment in the federal constitution. So I started talking with communities in other states. I wrote my book, The Green Amendment, Securing a Right to a Clean and Healthy Environment. I founded the new national organization called Green Amendments for the Generations, and I've embarked on this nationwide journey, all the while still being the Delaware Riverkeeper and fighting heartily for our beautiful Delaware River. Since I started this work, I have inspired Green Amendment proposals in 13 states. And on the leading edge of those 13 states is actually the state of New York, where we have not only had a Green Amendment, Environmental Rights Amendment put forth, but it has gone through the legislative process and will actually be on the ballot in November for the people of New York to decide whether or not they want to have a constitutional right to clean water and air and a healthful environment.
Yay, New York.
Yay, you know, New York.
You know, as Ken says, you know, you wouldn't have thought those two states that have already put it into motion, you wouldn't have thought those would have been the two states, you know?
The interesting thing is, so, you know, Pennsylvania and Montana actually passed their environmental rights amendments all the way back in the early 1970s, right, when there was this big national movement for environmental protection. And we had a lot of things that were going on at the time, the passage of state and federal laws, of course, the first Earth Day, and a lot of states in the years leading up and out of that early period in the 1970s thought about this idea of talking about the environment in their constitutions. But there were two states and only two states, Pennsylvania and Montana, that did it the right way, with that Bill of Rights recognition and protection, using the right language, the right placement, and all the fundamentals of what I have now defined to be a Green Amendment. And so That's why those two states have that powerful protection. In the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, it's because we had Senator Franklin Curry, who had that great vision. And in the state of Montana, they also had their champion. Unfortunately, in Pennsylvania, the Green Amendment was pretty quickly undermined by the courts before it even got a chance to get legal life, until I and my organization used it decades later, 42 years later, to defeat that pro-fracking law.
I was looking through a book about the Green Amendments by Franklin Curry called The Constitutional Question to Save the Planet, in which Maya Van Rossum is practically canonized on two of the pages in it. And I saw that the Green Amendment in Pennsylvania was 1971. And if that is not a lesson in eternal vigilance, that we can't let an amendment do things for us, we can't let the government do things for us, because since 71, black lung disease is still killing coal miners, coal mining runoff is still polluting drinking water, the fracking industry grab hold. What a permit is, a permit to frack, for example, is permission to violate a law. So the fracking industry that wants to mine methane, they call it natural gas, said, well, we're not supposed to pollute waterways. It's just law. So we'll ask permission from the government. Government rubber stamps it, and now we have it. I hope the Green Amendment gets through, because the environment needs every protection it can get. The water, air, land need every protection it can get. But it doesn't mean that ecologic is no longer needed.
So I have two thoughts on that. So first off, yes, it is very important to recognize that getting a constitutional right to clean water and air and a healthful environment is not an instant panacea for environmental protection. But I really want to make sure that people understand that it is very powerful protection. And, you know, one of the things people think is, well, boy, Pennsylvania, they got their constitutional environmental rights amendment in 1971. And yes, all of this environmental degradation has happened. So how important can it be? And I'm right here to say it can and is powerfully important. The thing about the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is while the amendment was passed in 1971, in the early years, people used it in really stupid ways. And as a result, in reaction, the Pennsylvania courts, including the Supreme Court, declared the Constitutional Environmental Rights Amendment in Pennsylvania to be just a statement of policy, to not have the same legal strength as every other provision in the Bill of Rights section of the Constitution. And if you're a lawyer or you know anything about the law, you know that a statement of policy is essentially just good advice. And it's good advice that you can take or you can leave. And in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the pro-fracking legislators and pro-pollution legislators left it. And they were able to do that because of the misuse of the law.
I'd like to give them some of my advice.
During that 42 years, that's when fracking came into Pennsylvania, when it was just this policy statement. In 2012, the Pennsylvania legislators tried to pass a law that was going to make the fracking devastation exponentially worse. And that is when we decided at the Delaware Riverkeeper Network that maybe we were at this moment in time when we could get the Pennsylvania courts to reconsider that 42 years of bad precedent. And so we used the Environmental Rights Amendment to challenge that bad pro-fracking law. And long story short, a very conservative Supreme Court, led by a very conservative Chief Justice, did in fact overturn that bad precedent, breathed legal life into Pennsylvania's Constitutional Environmental Rights Amendment, restored to the people of Pennsylvania their constitutional right to, in the language of their amendment, the rights to pure water, clean air, and a healthy environment, and defeated that pro-fracking law. And so it has actually only been since December 2013 that we've had a legally vibrant constitutional environmental rights amendment in Pennsylvania. But since that time, we have been really accomplishing really important progress in understanding what it means to have a constitutional right to a clean and healthy environment and defending that right. And in Montana, their story is different. Their amendment took a different trajectory, but there too, it was a couple of decades before many decades before the amendment was actually first started to really be used, right? And so there, in both of these states, were in the early stages of getting the power and the benefit. And I firmly believe if Pennsylvania had a living, thriving constitutional environmental rights amendment before fracking got into the state, we could have stopped it before it started, but that wasn't the way history was to play out.
It's a shame.
Wow.
So I believe you're working in New Mexico too, right? They're fighting some nuclear waste potential that could be problematic.
Yeah, so in New Mexico, the energy and enthusiasm around having a constitutional green amendment, environmental rights amendment, is really just off the charts. And that is a state that is overwhelmed by the fossil fuel industry in so many ways. But also, as you just said, one of the threats that's barreling down upon them is that there is a proposal to truck or transport nuclear waste from all over the nation, including the state of New Jersey, and ship it and train it and transport it all to New Mexico for storage. Ever since Yucca Mountain got defeated, the nuclear waste industry has been trying to find other strategies. They found this new approach that they're targeting for southern New Mexico. The New Mexicans are rightly battling against it. And truthfully, the battle against that Holtec nuclear waste facility is one of the stories we raise up in the documentary series that we've been developing around this idea of constitutional green amendments. And we talk about how
if you go to our website, Ecologic has many shows on that, on Holtec and Indian Point. But yeah, New Mexico doesn't want it. None of the small towns all along the route, whether it's by rail or by truck, no one wants the nuclear waste. So, or barge.
Or barge. And we don't want it, you know, here in our region, one, it's morally wrong. So we don't want to foist our waste on the people of New Mexico, right? That's wrong.
Right.
But the other thing is, you know, for example, the Salem Nuclear Generating Station down on Artificial Island in South Jersey killed using old technology over 14 billion Delaware River fish eggs and larvae every single year. One of the life limitations on that facility is the nuclear waste. If all that waste can get taken out and hauled to New Mexico, suddenly it opens up new opportunity to extend the life of the Salem Nuclear Generating Station, which will extend the devastating death that it inflicts on the aquatic life of the Delaware Bay that is so fundamentally important to the ecology and economy of our region.
So if a constitutional amendment is so important, and it sounds like it really is, why would anybody object? Why would this be difficult to get through?
Well, that is such a great question, because smart people like you and I, like all of us, right, we know that we all need clean water and clean air, a stable climate and healthy environments, right, to live and to thrive and to enjoy our lives. Unfortunately, there is a lot of opposition, and it really, like, boggles my mind how anybody could be opposed. But long story short, there's a lot of opposition, and so it's an uphill battle everywhere. And that's why we really need in New York, which is going to be potentially the first state in the modern era to pass a constitutional green amendment of this kind, we really need the people of New York to understand the power and importance of constitutional environmental rights, to share the message with their friends and neighbors, and to make sure that people are prepared when they see the question on the ballot in November to vote to protect their rights to clean water, clean air, and a healthful environment.
So, a constitutional amendment is for everybody, right? Is that why it helps frontline communities and environmental justice regions, or
that? Yeah, it's such an important point. You know, one of the many incredible values of a constitutional environmental rights amendment is that it really empowers environmental justice and is an incredibly powerful tool to truly help us end systemic environmental racism, right? Like, we've had this powerful conversation across our nation talking about how systemic racism inflicts so much harm. Because a constitutional amendment recognizes and protects the environmental rights of all people equitably, regardless of race, ethnicity, or socioeconomics, it is an incredibly empowering tool for restoring and protecting environmental justice and truly ending environmental racism and sacrifice zones.
Well, we're going to have to keep everybody up to date between now and November on how this is progressing and talk to some of our sister stations on this subject, because this has the potential to change lives, to change millions of lives.
We have to explain to people why this is so important, that an economic vitality is so much tied into the environment.
I mean, you know, when you go look at what states are most recognized and appreciated for their stance on environmental protection, and as a result have tremendous economic wealth due to that, a clean and healthy environment, New York is already always top of the list. And so a constitutional green amendment will not only help protect the health and the safety of the people and our natural resources, but absolutely strengthen economic vitality in the state of New York.
Well said.
Well, we know that time flies when we're having fun. And we thank you, Maya Van Rossum. We'd love to talk more, but unfortunately, we are out of time. Where does the time go? Please give us your contact information, how our listeners can reach you.
So we have a special website dedicated to New York, www.nygreenamendment.org. And if you're in any other state across the nation and want to get involved in the movement, the website is www.forthegenerations.org. And there you can get a link up to all the other states that have green amendment proposals, or perhaps you can be the reason why we get a green amendment advancing in your state.
Repeat those websites again.
www.forthegenerations.org, www.nygreenamendment.org. Oh, and of course, we have a New Jersey Green Amendment that's advancing, www.njgreenamendment.org. And our biggest hurdle there is that the New Jersey legislators, we have so many sponsors, but they haven't yet granted it a hearing. So we need a hearing in New Jersey. So go to the website and get involved.
All right. And tune in next week, Friday, June 11th at 2:30 p.m. when we discuss green roofs.
You can rely on Ecologic to bring you news of upcoming events and people who are making a difference. This is a most important role for Ecologic and WBAI-FM.
And we rely on you to show your support for WBAI. Remember when we asked you to become a member of WBAI because there was an important vote coming up? Well, June 7th is that time. The same people who kicked in the doors of WBAI in October 2019 are at it again and want to change the bylaws to gain control. This time, they are better funded and organized. They have even misled some celebrities. You can find more info on WBAIfightback.org or call 917-781-0366. That's 917-781-0366.
We love your support. You can listen to this show again and any of our past shows and get environmental news on a variety of topics, such as the threat of melting ice caps check our links page, and a bill that eliminates fossil fuel subsidies in New York State at www.ecoradio.org.
That's www.ecoradio.org.
Also, to find out when our shows are posted, those of you online, please sign up for our mailing list. And those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter Eco-Logic.
There are many video and audio versions of Eco-Logic available to you for a donation to WBAI.
Go to www.givetowbai.org. Choose Eco-Logic on the drop-down menu after you click on Next, or call 212-209-2950 and say you want to become a member or a WBAI buddy.
And much appreciation to our engineer, Reggie Johnson. We couldn't do this without you.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next week when the subject is Green Roofs, June 11th at 2:30 p.m.
For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Askia Muhammad. Here are some headlines. Facebook today announced that it may allow Donald Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts to be reinstated in January 23. At that time, the social media company will reevaluate whether the risk to public safety of allowing Trump back onto its services has receded. Quote, "We will evaluate external factors, including instances of violence, restrictions on peaceful assembly, and other markers of civil unrest," the company said in a blog post. Since getting banned from Facebook, the twice-impeached former president has been unrepentant, some advocates observe, warning that his return in 2023 would be in time for him to engage in the 2024 presidential election. In his second public address since leaving office, former Vice President Mike Pence put a little space between himself and his ex-boss, saying he and Trump might never see eye to eye on the January 6th insurrection. Pence called it, quote, "a dark day in the history of the United States," and thanked the U.S. Capitol Police and other law enforcement for quelling the violence. Pence spoke Thursday at the Hillsborough County Republican Committee's annual Lincoln-Reagan Awards Dinner in Manchester, New Hampshire. The FBI is investigating Postmaster General Louis DeJoy in connection with campaign fundraising activity involving his former business. FBI agents in recent weeks interviewed current and former employees of DeJoy and the business, asking questions about political contributions and company activities. Prosecutors also issued a subpoena to DeJoy. Mark Corallo, a DeJoy spokesman, confirmed the investigation in a statement, but insisted DeJoy had not knowingly violated any laws. The U.S. economy grew by more than 500,000 jobs in May, just shy of economists' predictions. The unemployment rate dropped to 5.8%, but significant racial disparities remain. Job growth in May was most pronounced in the leisure and hospitality sector, but the economy is still down more than 7 million jobs since February last year, and down almost 10 million from where the economy would be if the pandemic hadn't happened. Experts at the Economic Policy Institute said the data does not indicate a widespread labor shortage, as some economists and Republicans have argued. President Biden said today he remains confident that his economic plans are working and that the U.S. is on a full path to recovery. The economy added 559,000 jobs last month, while the unemployment rate fell to a pandemic low. Palestinian rights activists are aiming to block ships operated by an Israeli shipping line from unloading cargo in key U.S. port cities as part of a campaign to pressure Israel over its numerous violations of international law. The Arab Resource and Organizing Center, AROC, which is leading the effort, told Middle East Eye that its Block the Boat campaign had successfully prevented a ship operated by ZIM Integrated Shipping Services from docking.